Hello everyone, how is it going today? My name is Jonathan Orr.
My name is Michael Orr.
We are the Orr Brothers. He is my brother, he's my older brother. We are both in ministry. I'm a youth minister at the Hillcrest Church of Christ currently.
I am the pulpit minister, evangelist at the Saginaw Church of Christ in Saginaw, Texas, not Michigan.
He's fancier than I am. He's the pulpit and evangelism minister.
Well, you know, because you can say pulpit, but that feels like you're just standing in front of a pulpit 24/7, or you know,
exactly, like
twice a week at least.
Like you sleep there.
Yeah, it's my home. It's literally where I live. I have a pulpit with a little bed in it. You know, although I am getting a new pulpit built for me by one of our church members at Saginaw, and it's like going to be a wood masterpiece of ingenuity and creativity, and it's gonna have a cup holder.
And a cup holder.
Yeah, a cup holder.
That is super fancy.
It's really fanciest thing I've ever seen, and possibly like an electrical, like little strip, you know, where you can plug stuff in and whatnot. And so
you get an extension cord.
An extension in the pulpit. Built in the pulpit.
Man, that is.
It's like the pulpit 2000. Well, 2020.
The pulpit, is it the pulpit 3000 now?
The 3000. Because 2000 is done. That's not fancy anymore. That's not high tech. That's low tech now.
I remember that like around the 90s. Like there was a wrestling group that was supposed to be futuristic. And their name was like Techno Team 2000.
Or 2K, you know.
Yeah, and like, wasn't it like Space Odyssey 2000 or...
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything was 2000 or 2K and all that kind of stuff. And now we're.
And if you said that to gays today, somebody. That's a to gay. Today. Somebody would say, okay, boomer, because that's a thing, right?
Okay, boomer.
So.
They say that to everyone. It doesn't even matter if they are a boomer.
They just tell you. It's just a way for the younger generation to mock everybody else, which, you know, we probably deserve it.
I mean, we did it too.
So. We do have a subject that we're talking about today, and it is modesty in church.
And all we have to say about the matter is modest is hottest.
I was thinking the exact same thing. You stole it from me. But it's something really that I've heard people say. Literally, Jonathan, this is literal words.
Literal.
They've said, I've gone to a church and I was wearing pants. Now, this was a while back, right? This wasn't recent, but this is a while back. All we had were jeans to wear. We were on a trip, so we walked into this building, and people at the door said, we don't dress that way here, and turned them out at the door.
Seriously? Like, for seriously? Real? That
yeah,
happened?
This happened.
What?
You know, and there was a time when you did not wear jeans. If you were a woman, you wore a dress. You know, you back had in, a uniform.
Back in the roaring 20s.
The roaring 50s.
The roaring 50s. Nothing like the roaring 50s.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, really, this isn't that far back in history that people, you had to wear a certain thing in order to be considered acceptable at church. You had a dress code. And whether or not it was said, oh, you know, we come however we want. There was really a dress code at church. And I remember it back when I was a kid, Porter, Texas,
yeah.
Right?
Porter, yeah.
Close to New Caney, Houston area. And I remember there was a teenager, and this was when Miami Vice was popular, and they stopped wearing socks for a while, you know, and they just had on the little sandals or the little, you know, the little fancy shoes, you know.
I understand what you're saying. Both and, shoes or yeah. whatever.
And he just had on shoes without socks. And people got really upset about it.
Really?
Yeah, because he was serving on the Lord's table. Like, you do not serve the Lord's table without socks.
Wow.
You know, and today that sounds strange, but you have to understand that for the longest time, people were told you have to dress a certain way if you're going to come to church.
Well, I mean, and that happened, you know, where I was at too. I won't name names, but. A friend of mine and yours had a situation to where they wore, you know, open-toed shoes. Like, they would wear flip-flops and jeans and a dress shirt to church on Sunday morning. And now, like, there's and there's a ton of people who preach like that.
I mean, to be honest, the word flip-flops sounds terrible in terms of shoe. Like, I'm going to put on my flip-flops.
Well, at least we don't call them thongs anymore.
Yeah, that was a little awkward.
I remember we were in high school. There was like an announcement over the speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not allowing people to wear thongs anymore at school. And if we see them, we will take them away.
Context, folks.
Exactly, context. Exactly. But yeah, people used to call them thongs, and obviously...
And now you got your jandals, your Jesus shoes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But going back to what I was saying, like, my friend, when he had open-toed shoes, he was not allowed to serve on the table.
Yeah.
And he had to tuck his shirt in.
Which you gotta consider that churches have certain things, that traditions that really weren't necessarily, they didn't have anything to do with the Bible. Like,
yeah,
serving on the Lord's table. I know that sounds very formal. You never see that in the New Testament. There's never a scripture. And those who serve on the Lord's table are to wear closed-toed shoes. They don't even have people serving on the Lord's table. It was more like a communal meal, and they had the Lord's Supper. Now, they separated at some point. They had the Love Feast,
mm-hmm.
which was literally just a church luncheon, which is very biblical, by the way. Eating lunch, eating casseroles, whatever.
Casseroles.
Biblical stuff, right?
I bet Jesus made a mean... King Ranch casserole.
Okay. Well, it'd probably be like fish.
The fish version. Tuna casserole.
Tuna casserole, yeah.
There you go.
So, I mean, he made fish. He literally made fish and served it to the disciples after he was resurrected.
I bet it was delicious, too.
The best fish ever, I'm sure.
I mean, I can't imagine Jesus being a bad cook.
He made fish,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But back to the modesty thing. So, nothing biblical about the Lord's table, you know, being a place where you serve. It's just everybody partook, whatever you call it. They partook of the Lord's Supper, and yet we've created this whole formality around worship, and that comes from, well, where does it come from, Jonathan? You know a little bit of the history, don't you?
I would say, I mean, you look at the dress across time. And
Industrial Revolution, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean
you're looking at people who are all working factory jobs, but they're told you got to dress up if you're going to work at the factory or whatever. And so you had guys wear suits, you had women wear, and there was this genteel type of idea where you had to look a certain way, and it was also a connection to cleanliness equaling godliness, right?
Hmm. Yeah.
Like a Molly Manners thing where good manners and proper dress, it was considered spiritual to some degree. And that's where society and church kind of blended together. But then society changed and church didn't, because people still dressed in their Sunday best. You've heard that.
Yeah.
Right? Their Sunday best. But it wasn't originally their Sunday best. It was what they wore to work. It was what they wore formally. And because church was a very formal occasion, they continued to practice that until it became almost a law, you know, a scripture, a teaching.
You know, it's interesting because if you think about, like, even in art, of course, Christian art is just clip art.
These days.
Yeah. I mean, back in the 90s, when
depending on the church, you might have like 1970s clip art. You know.
Well. Okay. So this is an interesting transition. I'll put it this way: if you see clip art from the 70s, 80s, whenever, even the 50s with the tracks and everything like that, everybody was in a suit and tie, right?
Oh yeah.
And you look at that,
and they didn't go by Michael Orr. It was J.M. Orr.
Yeah, everybody had funny
A.G.
names.
Tozer, you
like
know.
Like Batzel Barrett Baxter.
Yeah, but you didn't get first names. You just got initials. You
exactly.
Know?
But no. It's like, so everybody was in suits. Everybody was in, everybody was usually, let's be honest, everybody was usually white.
Well, I mean,
you had
a segregation of a lot of churches. You know, you had your
exactly
your and just to say it this way, black churches of Christ and white churches of Christ.
Yeah,
and black churches and white churches, and that integration didn't happen for a long time. But the formality was the same.
But I'm saying if somebody wanted to promote their church, if somebody wanted to write a tract, if somebody wanted to pass around something, you would usually see maybe 40s, 50s, somewhere around there, you would see a white family, they're all dressed up, and that's the image that was portrayed to America. It's
they're
like,
all smiling, right?
Yeah.
There's Tommy and Jane, and they're next to their mom and dad, and the mom has on this dress, this 50s dress, the guy on has a suit. The little boy has on a suit, the little girl has on a dress, and behind them is a church building, and there's some kind of cross or sun next to it, and that's their welcome to the church, you know?
Exactly. But what is it now? Things have changed. Like,
well, yeah, absolutely.
What people understand how uninclusive things used to be, and so when you look at a church photo, you see people who are casually dressed.
Absolutely, and in fact, that's encouraged. You see these clip arts now, and it's like everybody has on different clothing. Everybody looks different.
Everybody, yeah. There's multiple races. There's women in pants. Like, you know, it's just society.
Women in pants.
Yeah. But you know, the sacred women in pants. The sacred cow has been killed and butchered.
Mm-mm. Served up, you know.
And it's wearing pants
barbecue
now.
Barbecue style. Yeah, it's wearing pants.
The sacred cow is wearing female pants.
Female pants. Oh, man.
Anyway, well, I mean, cows are females, so.
Yeah.
The bulls are in skinny jeans.
Bulls are in skinny jeans.
The women have, what is that? What are those business suits called?
We should probably not call women cows very much longer. Our podcast is going to stink to the bottom of the ocean.
Anyway, so, things have definitely changed and shifted.
Well, yeah.
To where.
There's more informality.
Yeah.
In church. I mean, it would have never happened to have any kind of beverage in the Lord's house.
Yeah,
right. In the sanctuary.
That might bring a Starbucks.
Yeah, now you got Starbucks.
They got coffee shops inside the church.
Well, yeah, in some congregations, and then you have like the mom has this bag. It's not like this little knapsack. It's a huge bag.
Yeah,
and she's got. Zip, you know, she zips in. Here's a sippy cup for the kid. Here's the Cheerios. Here's, you know, the biscuits and gravy, whatever she's brought. And it's like a little feast for the little ones. And that would have been so, you know, you never do that, right?
I got screamed at for that, for real. Like, for having, even in the kitchen, like, I remember getting between class and what we consider worship. Big church, whatever you want to call it, auditorium church. I remember me and my friends, we were eating, like, or it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Not that I thought it was wrong or I never did it, but not that there's anything wrong with that. But anyway, they got screamed at, yelled at, lectured because somebody ate a donut in between church and class. And now, you know, as a youth minister, kids,
you get donuts and coffee, even if you don't.
Well, I'm lazy. I don't buy that for them in the morning.
Oh, well, you know.
What we have, not kind of but we have drinks. You know, we have a fridge in the youth room. We have chips. You know, people bring in their donuts, their breakfast tacos, whatever, and they eat. We eat. I mean, the sanctity. I don't know if that's the right word, but the formality of worship, the formality of class. If you're not promoting a come as you are type attitude, you're looked at as anti-progress. You know, it's almost like what was appropriate, what was the only thing that was appropriate generations ago is looked at as
backwards.
Like you could dress like that. You know, you look at the amount of men who are wearing suits to church on Sunday morning. Like, how many, besides the preacher...
The age, too.
It's always the... It's pretty much always the older people who wear suits.
And it is a cultural phenomenon. So while we still have a little time, though, I want to go in the opposite direction.
Okay.
First of all, I would say this. As far as I've studied, there is no scripture that says you need to dress up for church.
Okay.
I've never found a scripture in the Bible. The only time that dress is really mentioned is there's a little bit of discussion about modesty.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, it's more don't dress up. Don't wear costly pearls.
That's a good point.
This is Paul talking specifically to women. Don't dress up in costly pearls or arranging it there. Don't let that be how you come to church. Let it be the hidden person of the heart.
Yeah.
Let it be the spiritual beauty that you know, and it talks in the same passage about men lifting up holy hands. And it's more of
that's what illegal though. You're not supposed to do that in the Church of Christ.
Well, you know. That in prayer, you know. So.
In prayer.
But that's the thing. Again, it goes towards culture, right?
Yeah.
There's a culture in the church. And we have to admit that, and we have to say that culture does not equal scripture.
Yeah.
To say you need to wear your best, you need to bring your best to church, that is a cultural statement.
Somebody made it up.
Yeah, it is not Jesus came down and said, just remember everybody, bring your best to church.
When you think about how the church was, it's like, if there was no comfort in the early church as far as...
They had like one robe.
Yeah, well,
you know, one set of clothes.
What I mean by comfort is like when I go to church, I look in my closet. I have all these shirts. I have of varying degrees. You know, I got T-shirts. I have dress shirts. I have, you know, funeral wedding shirts that are, you know, super dressy.
My best funeral shirt.
I've got suit coats.
I have a tie that I wear specifically for funerals.
Yeah,
I
mean, but what I'm saying, if you let me finish,
I'm sorry.
That we have this big wardrobe. We have all these choices of what we can wear. Suits are relatively cheap. If you go to Suit Mart in Houston, Texas, I'll give them a plug. You know, you can find a good suit. I mean, it's not going to be a 3-piece masterpiece, but you can find a good suit for relatively cheap. You don't have to be a rich person to have a suit. But back then, it's like when the churches were fleeing and the churches were mobilized and the churches were having to leave and be uncomfortable and being persecuted. And there were so many different people who were coming together from so many different ways of life. You think about what they were trying to establish and the culture they were trying to establish. And my guess is dress had zero to do with it. Other than the fact that, like you said, they didn't want people to be so fancy that they were distracting everyone.
Absolutely. I mean, to draw attention away from what they were doing. And there was a lot in the New Testament, especially Paul, addressing the way that people acted in worship, that there needed to be order.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't need to be people trying to take attention to themselves, but to all be one, to all be unified. And so, and to say what a lot of people say, well, okay, so let's say we don't have to dress up, fine.
Okay.
But what about people who dress inappropriately, right? Because that's something that's said. What if there's a visitor that comes in, and if we're just, unfortunately, women get the attention more in this than men, because, you know, it's just the way we are as a culture, but you have a woman with a low cut blouse, right?
Yep.
And then somebody says, well, doesn't she know that she's supposed to dress differently? And then you have this cultural concept that says, well, if you're blaming women for what men are doing, whatever, you know, and I've seen lots of articles saying, women, you need to be modest. You need to be modest, women. You know, you need to dress a certain way, women. And I think it's unfair to a degree that we're picking on women in that, because...
Well, I want to point something out.
Sure.
Let's be real. Dudes can be very nasty. Like, our minds...
That's a great quote. Dudes can be very nasty. Dudes can
be very nasty. Dolphin
or 2020.
So it is, you know, I've been thinking about that because when you think about women, how they dress, like if you go to any kind of concert, if you go to any kind of, you know, large social event, even if it's quote unquote family friendly, family oriented, you take your kids to Six Flags in the summer, you're going to see people dressed in ways that you might not feel comfortable with.
Like shorts that are just...
Not even shorts.
Not shorts at all.
They panties. You know, they're just...
Yeah.
They're the same covering as panties. And
Pretty much, it's, yeah. Like a... Well, in some cases, you see people in their two-piece bathing suit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got the combination water park.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, and if you take your kids to a water park, that's what you're going to see.
Or the beach, you know.
The beach.
But I guess the point is, but wait, this is the Lord's house. This is worshiping God. And obviously, I don't think anybody would say, yeah, everybody should come up, you know, come to church in their bathing suits.
That would be a bit much. Like, I mean, obviously, if you think about a public place, there's respect even in a public place. I mean, I could not imagine it being a normal thing for a convenience store to have somebody come in their underwear, like a woman or a man come in their underpants. You know,
we're not going to mention Walmart because, you know, there's all sorts of crazy stuff.
That's a different beast, but the no shoes, no shirt, no service. I think common sense would indicate that unless you're trying to start trouble, people are going to not dress in certain ways. But the interesting thing, the thing that I kind of want to steer us towards, and you were doing that a little bit, is what's the limit? Like, when should it be a concern, or should it be a concern if somebody comes in dressed another way? I call back to two times in my church going career. I was a minister for one of them, and I was just a member for the other. There was a young lady who came in who wore short shorts before it was normal. Like nowadays, to be honest, it doesn't even affect me one way or another if there's like somebody who comes in with like just the typical short shorts that in the 90s or the 80s maybe would have been considered taboo, but now
risque or whatever,
and it's not anymore. And it's, to me, it's so normal that you're gonna see it absolutely anywhere. But at this time, it was a little bit different. Yeah. And I remember somebody coming up to me and saying, hey, should we tell her something about that? And the leadership of the church decided, no, I mean, if she wants to come here and worship, then maybe we should just let her worship the way she wants to. It wasn't anything malicious. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't. Sure. She was not used to going to church. She came to church, and it was nothing malicious. Now, on the other hand, there was another time, and this one is another cultural thing. It was a European lady, and she wore a fishnet see-through shirt.
Oh, wow.
To church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And it was quite the distraction. So, In you know, on a guy's sense, you know, obviously, guys, I feel bad talking about nothing but women, but that's usually the attention that it draws. Sure. I mean, obviously, I think if a guy walked in with a meshed see-through shirt, that would probably be a conversation as well. But what do you think as far as like, is there an appropriate time to talk to someone about maybe some distracting clothing that they're wearing, or
well, you know, I do have an opinion on that.
Okay,
let me tell you specifically what the time that I would talk to someone if I saw mm-hmm. them, and part of it is the first question is, what is your relationship with that person?
Yeah,
like a visitor, there's not a lot you're going to do with a visitor who might be dressed inappropriately to some degree, you're not going to go to them and say, well, you need to leave, you know, or give them a, you know, a token Saginaw Church of Christ shirt and say, please put this on during the duration of the worship. I mean, you're not going to do that. I mean, you deal with whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first time or whatever, you know, unless it's obviously distracting.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a little bit of a common sense issue. But if the first question is, what kind of relationship do you have with the person you're talking to?
Yeah.
Because I think it's a mistake. It's a big mistake for us to just go to somebody we don't really know well and say, hey, I want to talk about the way that you dress.
Yeah, especially if that's a first impression.
And that, and even if they're a member of the church, if you're not willing to commit to developing a relationship with a person in church, then you shouldn't have the right to then go to them and say the way you're dressing is inappropriate. Because
true.
The point of being a church is that you're family, that yeah. you love one another. And when you know someone and they know you, and when they respect you and they listen to you, then you might go to that person and say, hey, you know, we're friends. We care about each other. Sometimes some of the stuff you wear, it's a little risky. You know, I'm just saying that. I'm not trying to judge you. I just say, you know. And maybe that's probably a conversation a woman should have with another woman if that's
yeah.
if it's a lady. I
100%
little,
agree with that.
Yeah, and it's one of those touchy subjects, but I think more so it's the impression that we give. It's the conversations that we have. It's even stuff that comes from the pulpit, from the class.
Yeah.
If we're dictating a particular dress code, it can be something that can be very divisive with people.
Yeah.
Some people, maybe they don't have a lot in their wardrobe, right?
Exactly.
Or they don't know, and you can gently and lovingly talk to them about it. Obviously, you have to deal with things in the church that become a distraction. But I think the big point is, if we have expectations for people when they come to church, we need to give them those expectations in a kind, considerate, biblical way.
Yeah.
And what I would say about dress in general is, if you come to church, the first point is, you need to draw attention to Christ, not to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can dress nice, that's fine. You can dress down if you like, you know, and sometimes culture matters. I mean, if you're in Africa or if you're in Europe or if you're in the United States, people are going to dress differently, and that's something to consider.
Yeah, there's some people who just, yeah, walk around topless, and that's culturally acceptable.
Well, that's
now, that
podcast,
would not be, yeah, that would not be, it would, but if you think about it, like, if we went over there and told them, by the way, you're inappropriate. And
yeah, even though this is your culture, you're inappropriate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That'd be a little, but I wanted to point, like, because we talk about the women, and we're definitely not chauvinistic dudes or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
But our wives would kill us if we were.
Yeah.
But
we'd make it very long.
And then we tell them to
but
go
this,
to the.
But unfortunately, this comes with what women wear, not what men wear.
Now, I'm gonna put it to men, though, okay?
Sure.
I'll give an example. So there are t-shirts that can be worn. I'll give an example that can spark a lot of controversy.
Sure.
Somebody comes in, and I've seen this happen before, with a Rebel Flag t-shirt.
Sure.
In the South, obviously, there are still people who feel like there's nothing wrong with the Rebel flag. I grew up not really understanding how hurtful it is to our Black brothers and sisters.
Sure.
And when I was told that, when I understood that, we were never raising Rebel flags or really wearing any Rebel flag shirts in growing up or anything like that. I remember there is a picture of me out there with a Rebel flag shirt that says white trash, that I did not buy, but I was like, I would ran out of shirts and one of my friends threw it to me. And this is like 15 years ago. I didn't even think about how it was back then. But nowadays, with social media and with the access of information and the access of communication we have in people, I would never in my wildest dreams have a rebel flag anything, anywhere, because I feel like it's hurtful to people, and I don't want to do anything to hurt people.
Well, and that maybe that's what we consider if you're talking about a scriptural basis, that we're told, owe no one anything except to love one another.
Yeah.
And when we come to church, the way we dress, we should do so in a way that we walk in love, that mm-hmm. we consider the feelings of others. You know, if I'm guy or woman wanting to wear short shorts, I should consider that the way I dress, if it's going to be a distraction to people, maybe some older people who don't like that. Let's say that it's nothing wrong with me wearing this. It's you know, a normal thing, but me coming to worship in this way, it becomes a distraction. Then I'm no longer walking in love. You know, I'm no longer walking in a way that's honoring others. And you should say, well, it shouldn't matter what they think. But here's the thing. We're a family. And family, one thing family does is they consider each other's feelings. And so if we're going to say, this is the way you should dress in a way that first and foremost honors God.
Yeah.
And second of all, dress in a way that's not going to cause a great offense or distraction to other people.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so another example, like, I'm going back to t-shirts, like, if we wore something super political in a very diverse church on our t-shirts, that would probably not be the greatest idea either. Like, somebody, and I'm not talking about, like, a vote for this guy, but, you know, with all the gun stuff, like, if somebody, like, put a something on their t-shirt that says, like, remember that old shirt, guns don't kill people, I do, you know, like that, or
making a
political statement.
Well, and let's be honest, most of the time you don't see this in church. Most of the time you're not seeing people wearing t-shirts. Usually people have an idea of the way that they should dress, just picking up on cultural cues. It doesn't matter if it's Church of Christ or whatever. People have an idea. I think one of the big things we're covering here is, let's say Sunday night, let's say Wednesday night, people dress down a little bit more. There's no reason for it. Again, it's all cultural.
Yeah.
Sunday night, things don't suddenly change. It's just a less formal worship service.
It's less holy on Sunday night.
Well, that's kind of the way that we sort of treat it.
Well, we really do treat it like that.
You know, it's almost like the reverse Superman. You know, you're in your uniform Sunday morning, and then you're Clark Kent at Sunday night. You dress down. You know, and that part of our issue, I think, is that we get caught up so much in culture.
Some old guys out there, Clark Kent wore a tie too, boy.
That's right. Yeah, but when we get so caught up in culture that we begin to impose traditions of men as commandment. And that's the danger. Since there's no real rule on the way we dress, except don't dress up. And by that, just don't draw attention to yourself through your dress, because you're there to worship God together. We have to use biblical principles. Don't dress in a way that's going to dishonor God.
Yeah.
Or that's going to be a distraction to others.
Well, and I also think we have to look back at those who are strong bearing with those who are weak.
Yeah, and being okay with somebody dressing in a way that maybe we're not really okay with, but there are freedoms in Christ. And this is one of the things that we don't talk about in the church much. There's a lot of freedom in Christ.
Man and woman holding hands.
Somebody's calling me. I should...
Yep.
You know, you really ought to silence your phone during podcast. But anyways, we're running out of time. But I wanted to do a conclusion. I want you to do a conclusion. For me, when it comes to modesty, we have to consider the way that we're approaching God first. And if that means dressing up, that's fine. We shouldn't dismiss someone who dresses up and say, well, they're just old fashioned.
Exactly.
Make that kind of, if you like to dress up, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you don't dress up Sunday morning, just consider other people's feelings, and consider that if you're going to dress in a certain way, make sure that it honors God and it doesn't become a distraction to what you're trying to do to worship God. And I think if you follow those rules personally, and you don't feel the need to impose that on everybody else, I think that modesty would become a lot easier to deal with.
Absolutely.
You know, and so do we need to have that conversation with teenage kids? Yeah, we shouldn't just, if you're a parent of a teenager, you should be able to say, hey, this is the way that you're going to dress on Sunday if you're a parent. That's a parent's prerogative.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with the way a kid dresses, then first of all, consider, do you have a relationship with that parent? You know, you might not go to the kid. That might not be appropriate. But if there's really a distraction, you might mention it to the parent. But again, you're trying to honor the people that are there. You're trying to honor each other. That should come first. Love one another comes first. And then we deal with whatever issue might come up. And it does come up.
Yeah.
And when it does, we should do our best to walk in love, to be understanding, and not to impose the way we feel church dress ought to be.
Yeah.
On someone else.
And absolutely. You go ahead, Tom. And, you know, I guess to wrap things up, when you're a part of a church, especially if you work in a church like we have for so many years, there's always going to be little things that come up. And sometimes those little things can dictate the mood and the culture and the atmosphere of a congregation a lot more than the big things do.
Yeah.
We can get so caught up in these little bitty things. And what we need to remember is that in a church, those who are very strong, those who really have a relationship with God, those who feel secure in their relationship with God, should always be mentoring those who are new, those who are weak, those who are wayward, those who are culturally different, those who are just whatever it is. And I shouldn't put culturally different lumped in those other categories. I made a mistake there. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, if there is a problem that we need to address, we need to do it in love. We need to do it in gentleness. We need to do it with patience. We need to do it with wisdom, and we need to do it prayerfully. And so All of these things we can do that they don't become big problems unless we are confrontational.
Or gossiping.
Unless we're aggressive or whatever. So we can handle anything as a church family together, just like a family can handle anything if we do it in a Christ-like way.
Absolutely.
And so if we do things in a Christ-like way, things can get handled. And that is all the time we have for today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this, and hope we will be back at another time to talk about more things. This is Jonathan Orr.
Michael Orr.
Signing off. You take care. God loves you, and we're trying.